Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Me, we, us, comprehensive well-being. That's what we're going to be talking about today here on the Vet Blast podcast. Thank you so much for listening to us. We want to thank our friends at Blue Buffalo for supporting this great conversation. And I hope you're sitting down, or you might need to drive to the side of the road and pull over to listen to this podcast, because we have our rock stars, Dr. Alex Miller and Dr. Phil Richmond, in the house. How are you, doctors?
We're good. I am good. I shouldn't speak for Phil.
Yes. Exceedingly well. And honestly, I'm covered in our Acqua di Gio Armani, which we were just talking about, that different scents.
Yes.
So I said, right now I'm feeling that vibe, Adam, yeah. As are you with the, what is it? What is it that you're wearing today?
Thanks, Phil. I'm wearing, yes, Abercrombie's Fierce, since I've been 21. That's
classic,
fine.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
And I'm mentally going through my morning and making sure that I actually put on deodorant this morning. And
good
job.
Pretty confident I did. So I think we're all squared away.
You're a
Dracar guy. Cool water. back in the day.
Right. So good.
Let's get back.
A little information about our colleagues here. Dr. Alex Miller serves as Veterinary Services Manager for Blue Buffalo. He's inspired every day by the power of the human-animal bond and believes veterinary professionals are as entitled to well-being as the animals they care for. I love that. A graduate of the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Miller practiced general and emergency medicine on both U.S. coasts before joining industry as a professional services veterinarian. A master's degree in organizational leadership set him on a path of championing the roles of leadership, motivation, and realistic job design in promoting workplace thriving and offsetting compassion fatigue. A certified compassion fatigue professional, he is actively involved with numerous well-being organizations, including Not One More Vet, the AVMA, and Mentor Vet. He lives in Boston, Massachusetts, with his incredible wife, Tamara, tenacious 7-year-old Maya, and diminutive domestic short hair, Penny. Why did you have to say, what, is she naughty?
She's just tiny. I hate the word runt, but if ever there's an animal that fits the description, it's her. Sadly, the door is closed, so she probably won't join us, but she's adorable. She's just very small.
Love it. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
Right. In his spare time, he enjoys slow running, cooking, and exploring the world through wine and food. Dr. Phil Richmond's a practicing veterinarian and the founder and CEO of Flourishing Phoenix Veterinary Consultants. He advocates and consults for positive culture and individual team and organizational psychological health, safety, and well-being in veterinary workplaces. Dr. Richmond leads and is involved in state, national, and international projects for advancing workplace well-being and culture in veterinary medicine. And he served as the chief medical officer for Veterinary United. Dr. Richmond currently serves as the chair of the FVMA Professional Wellbeing Committee, and he's also a member and advisor for several national committees and boards for workplace suicide prevention, psychological health and safety, and veterinary wellbeing, including those sponsored by the CDC and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Veterinary Visionaries, Mentor Vet, and Appalachian State University. He's a speaker, and fun fact, he was our Fetch keynote speaker last year as well in Atlantic City, and he has co-authored Psychological Health and Safety Guidelines from Veterinary Visionaries, frequent podcast guest, AO, right here, and he's been awarded the FVMA Gold Star, FVMA Veterinarian of the Year, Uncharted Veterinary Community Founders Award, Blue Buffalo Together for Pets Award, and a finalist for the U.S. Bright Minds Veterinary Wellness Champion Award. So is that like the EGOT of veterinary medicine that you have there?
No, that is, I still have yet I haven't gotten anything from Fetch. I think that's the, okay. That's the, oh. Is that the Emmy or would that be the Tony?
Yeah, really? Tony.
If it's the Tony. Yeah.
Tony, for sure. Well, I love that we're having this conversation, friends, because this is what it really should be about. And I want to start talking a little bit about where are we at with the current state, Phil? You know, how would you describe the current state of well-being in veterinary medicine today?
No, that's a great question, Adam. And I think it's important for us to remember where we came from. You know, as thinking about 15, 20 years ago, dare I say, when those of us in this room were in vet school and before, is were we really having these conversations? Were we talking about well-being on a systemic level? I mean, we were just starting to talk about, you know, like burnout and maybe a little bit of compassion fatigue and some of these things, but the level in which well-being is being integrated into veterinary medicine is very heartening. Certainly it's like watching the news. I mean, there can always be things that, you know, if we get on social media, you know, the downsides, but we don't hear about the, you know, the 10-year-old kid walking, you know, walking the grandmother across the street, you know, and the hard work that many, many people in veterinary medicine are doing day to day to elevate well-being in the profession. So I'm very, very bullish on where we are, where we've come from, and the direction we're going in, because it's not just it's not just the passion of the lived experience of veterinarians, but bringing in evidence-based tools, bringing in veterinary social workers, mental health professionals, veterinarians who are trained in you know, in positive psychology and that type of thing, veterinary professionals. So really, really excited about the direction we're going in.
What are your thoughts, Dr. Miller?
I would agree with Phil in the sense that we've come a really long way. It's really easy to look forward and say, here are the gaps of where we want to be versus where we are. But when you think about how the content that's shared in veterinary magazines and at conferences and just what the talk on the street is in veterinary medicine, well-being is now a household name. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that every solution that's out there is that we've gotten where we want to be. But I think getting over that hurdle of awareness and kind of, I wouldn't say the stigma is completely overcome, but we're able to talk about these things openly and candidly now. And my favorite sort of indication that we've moved beyond that is I hear less and less of well-being referred to as a soft skill. Mm-hmm. It's probably my least favorite term in veterinary medicine. I'm definitely a stickler for language. So there's all these things in veterinary medicine that I think are named wrong. But soft skill, it suggests that it's an afterthought, it's squishy, it's fuzzy, it's cozy. These are things that sometimes get in the way of a busy day. When we start to think of these as genuine people skills, and I know Phil and I have chatted a lot about this, it becomes integral to the success of everyone in veterinary medicine. And that's where I think we are. But we can't take our foot off the gas because we've made a lot of progress and we can see things you know, slow down or halt.
Just to jump on that too, Alex, what one things that you mentioned is that it's not siloed, you know, is that the well-being and psychological safety of the veterinary professional is integrated in the care and safety of our patients, the delivery of medicine, how we perform surgery, all of those things that we learn in school that we used to think were, well, I just need to know all the differentials for a vomiting cat and I'll worry about feeling better later. You know, is understanding that the state that we're in impacts the way that we deliver the care to our patients. It impacts the way that we communicate with owners, you know, and all of those things come together to create this holistic, you know, veterinary medicine that we want, that we all want for the future.
And Phil, it's interesting you talk about that. And
yeah.
I think there's no single like fix, you know, to elevate the professional and address those challenges. I feel like it's a top-down and bottom-up approach. And I remember in your keynote, you talked about the red cape, green cape. Share with right. the listeners about that, because I love this.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a thought exercise in positive psychology, and it's called the red cape, green cape exercise. And Adam, if we would, I'll put it to you, is that I will be able, I have the benefit of bestowing upon you one cape that will give you superpowers. If you choose the red cape, you cure all the ills of the world. So there's no disease, there's no famine, there's no war. Or I can give you the green cape. And with the green cape, you elevate all the best parts of humanity. You become a warrior of light. You know, you increase empathy and love and understanding of all people, all the best parts of what makes us human. And you can only choose one. Which one of those would you choose?
Green, next. Oh,
green. Yeah. Definitely agree. Right. And so why? Why, if I can ask quickly, why would you?
I mean, it just makes me feel good. I feel like life yeah. is all about leaving a legacy. You want to mentally feel good and feel like you've had purpose. And that's what it feels like with the green cape.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I think a lot of us would say that. And some people would even say, is if we do all those things, would we not, if we elevated empathy and love and all of those things to the max, would we then get rid of war? You know, would we then potentially get rid of possibly and maybe, but would we cure disease? You know, I don't know. And the reason why I say this, Adam, is that the purpose of it is there isn't a right answer. And in fact, we need both. So meaning we do need to help prevent burnout. We do need to help our team members that are going through mental health struggles. We do need to offer the ability to mitigate harm or prevent harm and mitigate illness. But we also, in that green cape aspect, we need to elevate the best parts of the profession as well. Because if we just take away all the bad stuff, quote unquote bad stuff, it doesn't mean that we're going to enjoy and have purpose and really feel a deep sense of meaning in what we do as veterinary professionals. So we need both of those things. And that's kind of the core direction and the Inspire program that I think we're going to talk about, is that's one of the foundational aspects of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Alex, somewhere along those lines, you know, if you could wave this magic wand and change one thing to improve well-being in the profession tomorrow, what would that look like for you?
Oh, a heavy question, right? Imagine having that magic wand in your hand and being able to do it. All of a sudden you get this sense of, you know, there's an ancient Greek myth where you have to be careful with what you wish for, because, there's always a sort of a dark side to it. So there's a lot of power in trying to wish something like that. I think for me, and it's what I touched on in my previous answer, is really a shift in mindset about what well-being is. And it is not, I will tell you that my wife is a clinical psychologist, and she's definitely, you know, pursued some yoga and spirituality and retreats and things of that nature. And that's great. And I will tell you that early in my career, when I was experiencing some stress and, you know, some burnout in veterinary medicine, I think that characterizes a lot of folks out there. That's what I thought well-being was. I thought that I needed to find inner peace, that I needed to be in touch with my feelings. And it really didn't mean much to me. It didn't feel applicable to me. And I think some of that is because we were using, or at least what I was hearing, was the wrong language for me about how I could incorporate these tools and bring them into my life, not just for professional enrichment, but for life enrichment. And I think, you know, due to the good work of people like Phil and all his contemporaries, we're finally changing the narrative about what well-being is. To one of, we only live once on this earth, and we can make the most of this career and restore it to this wonderful, beautiful thing. No matter where along the spectrum of fulfillment you find yourselves, there's no cap to where you can go with that. So that, I think we are well in the process of that metamorphosis of what well-being means to humanity, but certainly in the veterinary profession. And I want to see that continue.
I love this. Now, Phil, you talked about this, just mentioned it about Inspire. So by the Florida Veterinary Medical Association, there is the Inspire program. So share with the listeners a little bit about that and what's unique or differential about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, with that, with two underlying principles or guiding visions, if you will, that one is preventing harm, mitigating illness, and promoting flourishing. So we have that. And then also the thing is what we introduced the title of this, of me, we, and us, that we do these things on an individual, team and leadership, and organizational level. And how Inspire works to do this is we have a number of pillars. One of those is certainly access to mental health professionals. And what we found through a bitter experience was we had an EAP, you know, like most hospitals, workplaces have, and it was just poorly utilized. And that was due to a number of factors, but we said, what are the things that are in our purview? What are the things that we could do to twist the needle, or, you know, move the needle a little bit to help increase the utilization of this program? One, we thought, is how do we, right off the bat, how do we increase trust and rapport with the person on the other end? If I'm a veterinary professional, how do I feel like I feel that I could call this person or connect with this person and have them understand what I'm going through? So we made a conscious decision to pick mental health professionals that were either veterinary social workers or that they were veterinary professionals themselves that then went out and got a degree in mental health. So we have a veterinarian, we have a veterinary social worker, we have a CVT that got their degree in social work and veterinary social work, and then we have a third another veterinary social worker as well. So we have all these people that can kind of get right down into it. You can call and say, this person knows what I'm going through. And it's not to say that mental health professionals in general don't know that, but it was some of the feedback that we got was that, you know, there were comments like, oh, from the mental health professional, oh, I didn't even know that you guys went through stuff like that. You know, and it was right off the bat, then it's like, oh, I just lost, you know, that respect or that connection with that person. So we made a conscious decision to choose them. The next thing was that we wanted to do a couple things. We wanted to tap into the passion of the lived experience of veterinary professionals who wanted to help. And we also wanted to empower those that were in positions of leadership in the state to give them the tools to not just to make better informed decisions and be better advocates for well-being in the profession. So we created the certification in veterinary workplace well-being that creates workplace well-being champions. And so we had our first cohort of them. They're able to really connect with the PERMA theory of well-being. That's positive emotion, engagement, relationship. Achievement and physical health. And then the last thing was that we really connected with local VMAs and allowed them to really empower them. Alex?
Yeah, I think you touched on really all the components that attracted Blue Buffalo to the FVMA to bring this program to light. And so it's not a coincidence that when I think about from an industry perspective, the aspects of a well-being program that we could be proud to support, it's the elements of Inspire. Part of that is because we didn't take this search lightly. There are fortunately no shortage of veterinary well-being organizations out there trying to, you know, bring about the change and the positive impact that we need. And that put us in a position of being able to really explore what types of partnerships were there. But also, and this is more speaking to my industry colleagues out there, but I think the ideal partnership really gives us an opportunity to partner with an organization like FVMA in Florida to help shape what we think could be the most impactful across the board. And so we're really proud of what FVMA has put out there and Inspire and are really thrilled to support it. The pillars of it, Adam, getting back to your question of what makes it differential, what makes it stand apart, or what sort of defines the program that can be remembered. It's scalability, number one, first and foremost, I think. And what that means to me anyway, is that we can grow the program to support the veterinary population that needs it. I'm not going to say it's easy to work with a single clinic. In fact, in some ways that might be more challenging. But you can do hands-on, you can do multiple visits, you can really put a strong investment there. Down the street, maybe another veterinary hospital and a group of veterinary professionals, and in that parking lot is somebody who isn't sure they want to get out of the car that morning. And so it can sometimes feel like whack-a-mole, like you know, addressing one situation, but then there are others popping up. And so the scalability, being able to bring this not just to veterinarians, not just to veterinary technicians that are part of FVMA, but the entire state. And this is done through ease of access. It's done through the Well-Being Champions program that Phil mentioned, where it's almost like this, a sort of a spreading of veterinary excellence, of well-being excellence as we train each cohort every year. So that's just a really touching the surface of what we think makes this different, and it will live in perpetuity, I think, because of how much value it's bringing to the Florida vet population.
So much value. Oh my gosh, so much value. And you know, Phil, we throw these words around a lot. We throw, you know, burnout, moral distress, mental health struggles. What more can associations do to support those experiencing those things? And are there any innovations or supports that are making an impact?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the wonderful thing being in the role that I'm in, I get to talk to a number of people in state organizations that are, you know, that were doing similar work, but we're at different levels. And so what's really, really heartening is there's a group of us that are chairs of you know, the well-being associations, you know, in our respective states, that get together and try to help other states that maybe they're just getting started, you know, or maybe they don't have a well-being committee, or they don't have some of these things in place. And it's just really, it makes my heart swell that we get together and say, hey, well, we did this. How can I help you do this? You know, and then we all work together based on our shared experience on how to help them elevate the profession in their state. And some of the things I think that are really eye-opening are 10 years ago, I don't know that any organization, you know, really had an EAP, you know, available. And now probably, I mean, throwing out there, probably a third or not quite half the state VMAs have something as far as access to mental health professionals, which just that in and of itself is something that, again, 20 years ago, you know, 25 years ago, was just not something that was in the books. But also to say that it's not just about the individual, that things systemically need to change. And so to give you an idea, Adam, is what can we do as a state organization as far as policies go? And for instance, one of the things in the state of Florida was that we had on our licensing application, there were questions on the Florida licensing application to be a veterinarian as of 2018 that said, have you ever been diagnosed with insanity? I mean, it actually said like it's 1920. You know, are you addicted to intoxicating liquors or narcotics? And what I can also say as somebody who's in long-term recovery, no one's going to answer yes to that. But two things that are really important is one, the presence of those questions on a licensing application makes people who apply for that position know that those are issues that affect my potential ability to practice and that they are taboo. And so the American Medical Association and the Federation of Medical State Boards in 2018 found that the presence of those questions on licensing exams, physicians in that state, in the state where they were, where there's those questions were there, were 40% less likely to access a mental health professional because of the presence of those questions on a licensing exam or a licensing application. So what we did for the FVMA is we got together with the University of Florida and we went to the Florida State Board, the veterinary board, and asked them to remove those questions or modify those questions so that they were much more supportive. And they did. And it wasn't that the Florida board wanted the, you know, insanity on the application. It had been there so long. It just honestly, no one had brought it up, you know, before, but we didn't realize the impact. But that is one of the things that I think from a state organizational level, just to give you an idea of policy, of things that we can do to better the mental health, you know, of our members and the veterinary professionals in the states that we serve.
That's great. That's a huge change. I was just going to say, that's a huge change to see. That's great. What would you say, Doc?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that's such a valuable insight, Phil, that something that seems relatively minor. I mean, the amount of time that the individual is exposed to that question is what, a couple of seconds, right?
Right.
But it goes to show the impact of culture, the impact of this is the way we do things around here. And that can have a positive impact, or in the case that you just mentioned, it can have a negative impact. So words matter, and it does take, I think, a volitional, intentional effort to change things. To really bring about what we want to see. It's not going to happen passively.
Yeah. And speaking of action items, because just a little bit of a change there, but I know a lot of the listeners that write into us, they always like to hear some action items. And, Alex, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this. What would be one practical action someone here could take this week, let's say, to promote well-being in their workplace?
I've got a couple. It's definitely something that I would say I've tried in since I've been exposed to the well-being world, which really started somewhere around 2017 or so when I was fortunate enough to live near the NAMV founders in Northern California, not one more vet if you're familiar with that organization. Are really things that involve sort of my self-dialogue. And if I'm, you know, if there's a group of veterinarians out there, if your listeners are anything like me and anything like the average veterinarian, they rate super high in that lovely personality trait, neurosis. So we are a neurotic group. It's something that ties us all together, and this has been quantified. So I have a lot of self-dialogue, a lot of, you know, what did that mean? Either overthinking things or dwelling. But I will tell you something that I dwell on, but I think it actually contributes positively, is the rule of six. And this may be something that individuals are familiar with. And I want to step back for just a second and comment on what Phil mentioned earlier, which is change is needed and action is needed across the board. And so this question of what can an individual do is not meant to put on a veterinary professional, you are the problem, or you can single-handedly change everything in the practice. I do think that there's a positive contagion effect where if somebody puts something into action, that can have spillover effect across the entire team and change that culture. But to Phil's point, there are overarching issues facing veterinary medicine as well. And it takes a comprehensive approach. But anyway, stepping back to the answer to your question, for me, the rule of six is about trying to find explanations for an observation that goes beyond your knee-jerk reaction. So an example might be you walk out of a room and you think to yourself, boy, that client was a jerk. You know, all they wanted to do was fight, or all they wanted to do was nitpick money. And it's just really easy because of the nature of who we are as people. And then also the busy life of a veterinarian, to just keep on going about your day, make those phone calls, you call back for blood work, you go on to the next patient. And logged away in there somewhere is people are mean. People want to argue. Now, is that true of some individuals? Certainly. But the rule of six asks us to step back and say, what other explanations can I find for this behavior other than the one that I just observed? So five other, maybe you could start with three explanations. That person recently lost their job, or they're so stressed about their pet that they are trying to find another emotional outlet for the lack of control in the situation. Just a couple of examples. What I think it does is it just opens your heart a little bit. Instead of sinking into this place of assuming the worst of the people that surround us, it enables us to see through a different perspective and have a little bit of a shared experience that might just open us up to thinking differently and ultimately probably being better practitioners in the process.
Excellent. Thanks for sharing that too. What about yourself, Dr. Richmond?
Yeah, Adam, I think if I could say one thing, is the co-founder of modern positive psychology said if he could sum up positive psychology in three words, it would be other people matter. And how can I, as a leader, as a veterinary professional, as just a person on this earth, how can I go into my day and show other people that I think that they matter? You know, and such a powerful thing. And I would say, you know, we talked about the green cape, is I don't know that there's one fix for everything, but damn, this is close. Like, is if I go in, and it doesn't have to mean that, you know, everybody's right or anything like that, but like, if I know your name and I know what's important to you, and in the workplace, I show you why you make a difference, specifically seeing how you impact us and know your strengths, you know, and I can be able to visualize those and share those with you, and that you share those things back to me. And I know that I come in here why I'm valued. And the same thing for clients, like, and their pets. Like, if we can do those things, if we can show other people that they matter, that's really an impactful thing. One of the ways we can do that too, Adam, is I remember you were talking about Nicole. Oh my gosh, I'm going to brutalize her last name. And she's like, oh, Scherzinger. Yep. And we were just in New York and saw her. We didn't get to see her, but I saw she was doing a show there. But we were talking at the Fetch conference about the ways that we respond to good news.
Yes.
You know, and can I be genuinely excited and want to know more? And if I do that, what is exciting to you matters to me. And I'm able to show you that. And just those types of activities on a day-to-day basis, I think is a great place to start.
I love this. It's such an easy action item because you're genuinely interested in the person's interests. You know, for instance, you say, oh my gosh, did you see that Beyonce's in town, Michelle? You must be so excited that she's coming this weekend, right? Like, you know that maybe you don't really care too much for that person. If you don't like Beyonce, there's something wrong with you. But if you know that there's genuine interest, that just shows that you care. Like, oh my gosh, Dr. Richmond remembered. Like, that's amazing. You know, it makes me feel good.
And if I don't know what to, just tell me more. Like, I can see, I mean, we were on stage in front of all those people and you told me that story multiple times, but I can still see how exciting it was for you.
Right.
And just say, gosh, Adam, that sounds like, just tell me more. And I know you ask me about, you say that about something I'm excited about. I can't wait to tell you more about it.
Right.
And just being able to follow up and being engaged with that person and allow them to share that with you and share that space. So,
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. By the way, Phil, she did win the Tony Award. So just, you know,
there you go.
So that was, you know, that was the Oscars for me. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Love and as my wife knows, she's definitely one of my favorites, which makes me sad that I brutalized her last name. I should know her last name better. It wasn't even necessarily Pussycat Dolls. All good.
Yeah. You know, as we're wrapping up, Dr. Miller, one thing I wanted to share with the listeners is I really do appreciate, and I think I haven't seen this in, say, 10 years ago, but we're seeing a lot of our industry partners and industry veterinarians on the whole be very passionate about supporting the peers and the profession on the whole, such as Blue Buffalo, for instance. Why do you think that's so important?
Thank you for commenting on that. You know, I think this goes beyond Blue Buffalo. Obviously, there's an interest on Blue Buffalo to show the veterinary industry that we are here to support them and that this is a major a driver for us, that we feel that we can't be successful as a company if the veterinary profession on the whole isn't thriving. But I think that is an attitude that is being more and more assumed by industry partners across veterinary medicine. And from my point of view, it is an absolutely wonderful change. My personal journey is one of working in private practice and really thinking and defining veterinary medicine as about the animals. I was not one of those veterinarians that said I went to vet school because I didn't like people. You know, I know those folks are out there. You know, for me, my ability to impact the world in my small bubble was to work with the animals and to make sure that they were entitled to as long and healthy a life as possible. When I joined industry, which was partially driven by a place that I found myself going to more easily of, I don't know if I'm able to make the difference that I want. I'm assuming negative intent, and that's no way to start your day, not to mention, you know, your whole career. And so I made the switch, not really knowing what it would bring, but I was opened up to the entire industry. And I realized that while the industry is about animals, it's also about people. And it's about the human-animal bond and every element of that. And so what I see companies doing now is realizing that nourishing pets, feeding pets, preventing parasitism in pets is just part of this equation. But if we are really integral members of the veterinary community, then it means supporting the caregivers just as much as the animal companions. And so that's really the change that it excites me. We're purpose-driven more than ever before. And as a veterinarian, I can't imagine a better alignment between my professional goals and my wishes for my profession.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It is. It's very noticeable, which is great. And to the, you know, GPs and techs and support staff out there, it is recognized. Sometimes we're just to your point, you're kind of in your bubble and you don't really know what may be going out, you know, side of those four walls, but the three of us have the privilege to be traveling around the country and to see. And I know I could speak for the three of us to the listeners that it is noticeable. And if you do need to talk to somebody, there are resources out there. And I personally know these two gentlemen here, and they'd be more than happy to have a one-on-one with you if anybody needs to chat. We may not know the answers, but the three of us combined, we can certainly direct you in the right direction, which I absolutely love about this profession is how connected we are. It's not a big one, but we're heavily connected in that industry. Right, Phil?
Absolutely. And basically everybody just goes to Adam. If you need to know something, just go to Adam. He knows everybody.
Yeah. Please, like the wrong Google for BetMed, I'll tell you that. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Alex Miller, Dr. Phil Richmond, and Blue Buffalo. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us and continue to keep shining. We need you to keep moving that needle for well-being for all of us in this profession.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for the time.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you so much for our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. Thank you again to Blue Buffalo. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.